This episode of Own the Gray is brought to you by I Am. Discover your unique talents, realize your potential, and align to your path. Take the first step to uncover your life purpose by visiting deborahjones.ca/courses. Welcome to Own the Gray, a podcast to dispel the notion that aging is undesirable and setting new positive attitudes. I'm Deborah Jones, and I believe you can be vibrant and healthy throughout the best years of your life. Gunther Mueller is an optimal health strategist who has worked with hundreds of medical professionals, helping them to bring life-changing therapies to their patients so that they can feel young and healthy and vibrant again. And Gunther wants to inspire us to act and to take charge of our life. And today I invited Gunther on to Own the Gray to talk about how to strengthen our mental and emotional resiliency in a crazy world. Welcome to Own the Gray, Gunther Mueller.
Hey, Deborah, thank you so much for having me as a guest. I'm super excited about the conversation we're about to have.
Yeah, me too. Because right now, there's a lot going on in the world and change is never easy. And it can be uncomfortable, especially when we fear what might show up as a result of making changes. And as a healing professional myself, I empower people to make the changes they need to make to have a life that they love. And I see that you're doing that too, Gunther. Mm-hmm. How do you address the fear of change?
So the first thing is that the fear of change is absolutely normal, and it is the egoic mind's response to change, because that part of our mind is designed to keep us safe. And so throughout your lifetime, you have made certain choices and decisions to reduce pain and increase pleasure. That's pretty much the human desire, is less pain, more pleasure. And so as you've gone through life and you've gone through experiences, you made certain decisions or assumptions or inferences, or you've laid down this unconscious code. And so it is this egoic mind that is there to protect you. And when you choose to go in a new direction, there is what I'm going to call resistance to you moving in that direction. And the resistance wants to maintain the status quo. And you've heard that fear is false evidence appearing real, right? That acronym for fear. And that's what it is. I want to ask even the listeners here for a second, think about all the times you've worried about something. Think about all the times you've been anxious about something and how many times that something never materialized. Yeah. It never came to pass. Now, I want you to calculate in your mind a little bit the energy that was wasted on this worry and this fear and this anxiousness on something that never actually even happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're probably, going, oh my gosh, what a waste of energy. Yes, it is. Right. So we can't live without this egoic mind. The egoic mind is what feeds you, what dresses you, what puts a roof over your head. It is there to keep your body safe, right? Or to keep your emotions somewhat insulated. So it's doing its job. And as the being that you are, you have to kind of take this observer stance sometimes. You have to be like an airplane flying 40,000 feet over your life and be able to observe your life a little bit and just notice when it is your egoic mind trying to do its job and to protect you. And that's how you can come to the realization that, look, your thoughts and your emotions are not real. Mm-hmm. Even though they feel absolutely real, they're not real because you actually are choosing them. If you really sit with yourself for a minute, you'll realize that that is true. We actually choose our emotions. Sometimes thoughts lead to emotions. Sometimes emotions lead to thoughts. But either one, we are choosing them in that moment. We're allowing them to exist. And the worst thing we can do sometimes is to try to suppress them. So the way I would deal with fear is bring it on. Feel the fear fully, allow it to come right at you. Don't try to prevent it. Don't try to push it away. Don't try to suppress it. Just let it almost just feel it 100% fully, and you'll see that it will vaporize. It will go away, right?
Yeah, love that. I love that. In the healing room, we deal with fear a lot, and we deal with emotion a lot. And I love the term that emotion being energy in motion. It's not supposed to stick. It's supposed to flow through you. So what I was imagining when you were just explaining that is like a wave of fear. Allow it to come towards you and immerse yourself in it, but then also let it dissipate without holding on to it.
Right. Exactly. I always like to say fear has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Nice.
Let it go through its wave. Right. It exactly is like a wave. So it comes at you, it builds, reaches its pinnacle, and then you'll see it subsides behind you.
Love it.
You made it through. It's kind of like waves coming crashing in the ocean. They usually come in sets of seven or something like that. And then there's a lull, and then there's another set of waves. But if you can view your emotions like that, they have a beginning, they rise, and then they fall and they dissipate. That's just the way it is. And if you can get okay with that, let's say, temporary uncomfortableness of feeling an emotion fully, the more you become comfortable with that, the more it becomes less of a big deal.
So we talked about resilience. So from that word, I'm imagining that we can exercise a sort of a muscle to get better at withstanding the waves, I guess. Is that something that you can share with us, a way that we can do that?
Yeah, so it goes back also to the ability to observe that which you are, observe your life, almost like you're watching a holographic movie, okay? And, dealing with fear and emotions and things like that, where we find ourselves or how we've been trained to live this life is what I'm going to call the problem-solving reality. Even our goal-setting programs are built on this, I want this thing, and here's the five steps I need to take to get it, and I'm going to put dates next to everything. And then when I don't hit it or it doesn't work out the way I planned it to work, then I don't feel good about myself, or I feel like a loser, or I'm not capable, I'm not smart enough, I'm not whatever, right, to accomplish what I want to accomplish. The emotional resilience comes from observing how you react and respond to anything that arises in your field or in your present moment experience. The reality is that we're always going to have challenges. We're always going to have problems. And I will submit to the listeners today that a life without problems and challenges, you would not love that life. You would be bored out of your mind. Okay? Because the human experience is one in which we like to win. We like to accomplish. We like to overcome. This is why we have sports addictions. You know, we play board games, we compete, we do that because in this human, this three-dimensional, five senses human experience that we have, we like challenges. We like overcoming problems. We like solving puzzles. We like doing things. Yeah. And so if you had none of that, it would be a very boring life. So the trick then is not to allow yourself to just react and respond unconsciously to situations, but to react and respond consciously. And the way I'm going to suggest that you respond consciously is by choosing the outcome you would love to experience. So a problem or a challenge arises, there's some emotional stress, there's something causing, you know, you to be off balance or off center, and it's uncomfortable. The creator stance, which is in direct opposition to the problem-solving stance, is you take the creator position because that's who everyone listening to this call right now is. You are a creator. You've just been probably most of your life creating things unconsciously. So I'm going to ask you to now consciously assume the position of creator. And if there's a challenge or a problem or an emotional assault coming your way, to think about and visualize how you would like it to resolve. What is the outcome? What is the end result? What is the true choice that you might have about anything that is causing you an emotional disturbance right now? And to focus on the way you would love it to be, not in the problem-solving reality, which is trying to keep it away or to solve the problem, make it go away because it makes me uncomfortable. So just like we talked about with allowing emotions to pass through, when we take the creator stance, we can say, okay, this is the challenge. This is the problem. This is what is now. This is what's presenting itself just in my current reality right now. And how would I like it to be? How would I love it to be? How do I want this situation to resolve? What is the end result that I would just love to experience? And you begin to focus on that, and you'll see that the quantum physical field will figure out the circumstances, the people, the opportunities, the resolution. And you kind of take this stance of allowing things to come to you instead of you having to fix or chase things.
That kind of brought something up as you were talking. And it's the idea that, do we dare to believe that it could be better? Or what kind of limitations are we putting on what is possible? And I think that's a barrier for a lot of people, is we have a certain idea of what is possible and what is impossible. Although, as you and I both know, quantum field says everything is possible. But as humans, we're conditioned sometimes to believe that there are some parameters that we can't get beyond. And so do you have anything to say about when we find ourselves not feeling that we could even dream something could be better?
Yeah, so this comes into the three places that you can be. We talked about just before the show, right? Which was, there's three places that you usually find yourself. And that is, you're either stuck, meaning nothing changes, Groundhog Day every day. You're just stuck in a particular area of life. And then you could experience the second place would be oscillating, where that feels like three steps forward, two steps back, you know, two steps forward, half step back, and you're kind of going for things, but you get snapped back and you have to like start over. The third place, which is, you know, optimal, is a place called flow. And that's where you just turn thoughts into things. Okay, this desire becomes reality. The things that you choose and desire just becomes that. Most of us find ourselves in the oscillating place. We've all experienced flow from time to time. Flow is where, you know, 3-4 hours can go by and you just lose track of time, and you were just so engaged, so involved in something, time just seemed to stop. And your professional athletes talk about being in the zone and, you know, in that flow state. That's where they're just thinking, you know, they're just imagining, thinking all at the same time, and things just happen. Right? Their end result manifests just as they saw it happening.
Right.
And stuck is the place that's not a very comfortable place to be. So with regard to limitation, that is where I need to share with you about your identity structure. So your identity structure is what creates your reality. Your identity structure is always congruent with the reality that you're experiencing. And through the course of your lifetime, you have made certain choices and decisions about the way it is here, about the way I need to be in order to survive. And this is that unconscious programming. A lot of it happens from 0 to 7 years old. Some of it happens, you know, in our teenage years, young 20s, but we've experienced pain. So we make choices about things and they get cemented into this unconscious program. Now, as an adult in the present moment now, some of those choices and decisions no longer serve us. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the good news is that in the present moment, we get to choose something different now. We get to change that program to choose something that actually serves us in relation to the way we would love it to be. And you mentioned the word better earlier. I want to put in the word different instead of better. A lot of people think that the future is going to be better than the present moment. I'm going to say that automatically puts a negative weight on the present moment. So if we just look at the future as going to be a different experience than the experience we're having now, that doesn't automatically make the current reality bad. You get what I'm saying?
Love it. Yeah. Makes total sense.
Yeah. And the reason we want to do that is because we simultaneously want to be content with the way it is now. What I mean by content is if nothing ever changed, I could continue living my life. I know how to deal with this. There may be some aspects of it that I truly don't like, but I know how to manage it. I know how to go through it. And if nothing ever changed, I'll be fine. That's what I kind of mean by that contentment. Yet at the same time, the flip side of the coin, I desire more, or I desire something different, because wherever you find yourself, you're going to find yourself, and it necessarily may not be better, and it may be worse in some kinds. You don't know what the future is really going to feel like. Now, imagining what the future is going to feel like is where the power of creation is. Imagining what it is. But if we have an identity structure that does not allow us to imagine, and this could come from our family history, this could come from events, past emotions, where we've made choices and decisions. The family history can even be brought down, I think the science says, 7 generations. So there was a way of being in the family history. Certain things were allowed, certain things were not allowed. It's actually passed through the DNA down to the generations. And if that is not, if that resistance is not removed, then guess what? It plays a role in the current life today. And so being stuck is a very strong resistance, meaning not even allowed to contemplate or think about anything. Oscillating is you're at least dreaming and you're looking, but there's an aspect of your unconscious program that continues to snap you back to where you were. So unless that identity shifts, the reality can't change. And what I mean by that identity structure is things like, I'm not good enough, I'm not capable, I don't belong, I'm not worthy, I'm insignificant, things like that. These base thoughts, they're in that unconscious program. And if that continues to be, we need to move, I'm not good enough to I am good enough. I'm not worthy to I am worthy enough. Right? Enough to have the experience that I desire.
Yeah. I talk about that as far as our inner thoughts and what we say to ourselves, our self-talk, and listening, or rather becoming aware that we have this agenda or this recording that's happening in the background all the time. Until we realize it's there, we have to work with it. Like that belief creates our reality. And so that's why we're not getting what it is we feel we need to reach. And so as far as that self-talk, once we realize it's there, once we hear it, then we can now have the power to change it, to silence it, or to turn it into something else, wouldn't you say?
I would just suggest that you have the power to choose something different. You have the power to just make a new choice. I visualize it sometimes like a file cabinet in the brain, where a file has been placed in the file cabinet. And by choice, I can look at those files and say, this one does not belong any longer. It served its purpose to minimize pain in my life, but I'm going to extract that file, and I'm going to replace it with a new file. It's just very matter of fact. I'm just going to choose something different. And the power that we need to reclaim is this power of choice. And when I talk to clients about choice, it's not a choice by default. It's not a choice by elimination. It's not a choice by consensus. You know, if you got 5 crappy choices and you choose the least crappy choice, that's not a true choice. You're
choosing a crappy choice. Yeah.
Yeah. But we've been taught to do that. Well, these are my 5 options. And we're not even thinking about the possibility of the way it could be, the way you'd really love it to be. Or you get on social media and you ask 25 of your friends what they think about a desire you have. And boom, one by one, they knock it down. You say, well, okay, that must be a stupid idea. Right.
Yeah.
But what if it's something you truly desire? What if it's something you would really love to experience? And you know when you're in a true choice, if I asked you, you know, Deborah, why do you want what you want? The answer I'm looking for is, I want it just because I want it.
We're allowed have to do that?
We're allowed to do that. See, that's an idiot. Well, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I was allowed to do that, right?
Yeah.
But yes, you are allowed to choose that which you would love to experience. Now, the number one response I get when I ask people, what do you want? The number one answer is, I don't know. And I'm kind of a smart ass sometimes. And I'll say, well, if you don't know, who should I ask? Okay. If you don't know what you want, who should I ask? You have to know. You have to take some time to contemplate what is it that you like. And I'm not talking about asking your friends or going out into the internet and seeing what's popular. None of that. I'm talking about you. Who is it that you are? And what do you want to experience in your life? And I use the analogy of your average perfect week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What are you doing in a life that you love? Who are you doing it with? Where are you doing it? What time do you wake up in the morning? What do you do with the time of your day? What does your work look like, or your play, or whatever it is? Most people have never imagined this life that they love. And I'll make it similar to baking a chocolate cake. If I were to bake a chocolate cake today, I know I need chocolate, I need eggs, I need flour, I need sugar, I need some milk, right? And if any of those ingredients are missing, it's going to be a crappy chocolate cake.
Yeah.
So same thing. If I don't know the ingredients to the life that I love, and there's really, to me, three buckets in life, in the human experience, there's money, there's love, and there's health. And there might be a miscellaneous bucket that things fit into, but to me, the majority of human desire falls into those three buckets: money, love, and health.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't know what those ingredients would look like in your life, and I'm not talking about a whim or a fleeting desire or, oh, it would be nice to have, or that would be cool. No, I'm talking about something you would love to experience. Let's talk about the experience of abundance. Talk about the experience of love and intimacy with your partner, or, you know, relationships with your kids or your employer or different people in your life, just relationships in general. But how would you love those relationships to look, to feel, the energy, the essence of those relationships? And then in your health, right? We've gone through 2 years now of this fear of being infected by a thing. What if, in the creator stance, you would choose to focus on optimal health and vitality? And you would take obvious action steps to move in the direction of being optimally healthy and vital, and not worrying or stressing or anxiety or preventing or trying to suppress this infection. What if you could walk through the midst of, let's just call it disease, because there's heart disease, there's diabetes, sure, there's cancer, there's all this stuff out there, right? But what, you know, as you age, because we've assumed, and I've done a lot of work in the health space, we've assumed that aging is correlated with becoming symptomatic. That because we get older, we're supposed to get sick. And that is the underlying thought and the expectation. And we do things to try to prevent getting sick instead of focusing on becoming more and more healthy.
Yeah, it's all about the energy of the thought, isn't it? Because if you're focusing on a lower vibration energy of illness, then that's the vibration that you're resonating with, and it will be that self-fulfilling prophecy, right? But if you focus on a high vibration thought of total wellness and lots of love in your life and enough abundance of money, and your health is perfect, that raises your vibration. I talk about this all the time. It raises your vibration, which attracts more of that type of vibration experience.
Yeah. And some people, you know, and it's okay to talk about vibration, but what if it's just a choice? What if being sick and being healthy are just two unique choices, whether they're higher or lower vibration may not even matter, but it's just purely a choice. It's purely a desire. I desire not to be sick, right? When you say things in the negative like that, I desire not to be sick. Well, that's the problem solving reality. And you're trying to keep sickness away, but yet you're still focused on sickness. Therefore, sickness grows. If I just switch my choice to focusing on health and vitality and taking obvious action in those steps, whether it's eating right or getting enough sleep and rest and, you know, maybe taking some supplementation to boost your immune system, just obvious action steps that lead, you know, taking care of your physical body, and I'm focused on health and vitality, what do you think is going to grow? Health and vitality is going to grow. So what I'd like everybody listening to get is that you in the present moment have the power to choose something different than the way it is now. And the way it is now is just the way it is now. You already are a super conscious creator. You've just been creating unconsciously by reacting and responding. And you haven't been consciously choosing what you want. So when you're in the problem-solving reality, you're just unconsciously responding and trying to fix things or solve problems. And none of it's what you really want. You're just trying to keep a problem away. And what I'm suggesting, we need to move over to the creator stance and actually know the way we would love it to be, the experience we would love to have, because that's all the human life is an experience. And if you look at your day, you'll see that your day is nothing but a series of choices. What time am I going to get up in the morning? Am I going to have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea? Am I going to drive to work or am I going to take a bus? You know, what am I going to wear today? It's a series of choices from the moment you wake up. And each choice has a, call it a consequence or a response or an action. Mm-hmm. And we learn things through those experiences, and therefore we make different choices. And so the major choice that needs to be chosen is that I'm going to choose to create a life that I love. I just choose it. I choose to live a life that I love. And the next question is going to be, so what does that life consist of? What's in it?
That's the ingredients.
What are the contents? Yeah, what are the ingredients? That helps going back to the emotional resilience, because when you can reclaim this power of choice, you feel more powerful, you feel more invincible, you feel more in control. And that which is happening all around you has less and less and less of an impact in your present moment experience. Because you know, and there's a whole science of the quantum physical space. I mean, 40 years of science, this is not my opinion, okay? This is the way the neuroplasticity of the brain works. Thousands of experiments have been done over four decades now. This is what is creating this holographic movie, this experience that we're having in the present moment. And if we want that experience to change, then we need to just do something different in our daily routine, right? If we change something that we're doing, and I'm saying change our focus, we change that, guess what? The reality is going to change.
So Gunther, I have a question for you. Are you living a life that you love?
Yes, absolutely. I am.
How did you do that?
Well, I don't want anybody to think that life, the path of life, has not had any failures in it. I mean, how do you think I know what I know today? Okay.
Yeah.
My knowledge or my direct experience today is based on being determined in figuring out how to create a life that I love. That has always been my desire, and I, you know, in a value system, my highest value is freedom. So to me, living a life that I love is I do what I want to do when I want to do it, who I want to do it with. Okay. And I get to choose. And it wasn't always that way. And learning about the quantum physical field and the science behind it and the power, you know, for a long time, people think that after you're 20 or after you're 30 years old, your mind is fixed, your genetics determine your reality, you're kind of stuck with what you got. You were dealt a hand of cards and you got to play your cards. It's not true. Okay. The power to choose is revelation. You want to talk about enlightenment or evolution or whatever. When you realize that you have the power to choose what you would love to experience. And I use the word love all the time for a reason, because there's an emotional energy with that choice. Einstein said there's only two things in the universe, information and energy. The information is the choice, the intent. This is what I want. The emotion is, what does it feel like? What's it going to feel like when I have what I want? What is that experience going to feel like? That's like the lighter fluid that goes into manifestation and creation. And the mind does not know the difference between imagination and reality.
Right.
So when you are imagining something, and our culture has taught us, oh, you're a daydreamer, you're wasting your time. What are you doing looking into the stars all the time? What are you doing dreaming about all this stuff? You know, you can't have that. You know, you're not from that kind of a family. You know, you're not from those side of the tracks. You know, you don't belong over there. We get reinforced on all this negative garbage throughout our entire life. And, you know, it takes, let's say, some coaching or some revelation to actually enlighten one to the fact that you do have this power. You've always had this power. There's nothing that needs to be added to you. And I like to say too, look, you're not broken. There's nothing to fix. And we don't have to go back and uncover everything and forgive mommy and daddy or heal this or heal that or sit on some psychiatrist's bench for, you know, on their couch for 10 years to figure out and relive all the traumas. And look, we've all had traumatic events. We've all had some worse, some not so bad, right? Mm-hmm. We've all had that, but we don't need to fix anything of that. That has all happened. You can't change what's happened. You find yourself in the present moment with the reality that you have created to this point. So there's an element of taking responsibility for the way it is now. And blaming anybody in the past is not going to help you. You don't have to go back or forgive or heal or any of that stuff. You're in the present moment. Mm-hmm. Reclaim that power of choice and know, not just believe, but know what it is you would love to experience. And then focus on that. And the fifth step of the Magnetic Mind Method is to take obvious action. This is where the secret and the law of attraction kind of dropped the ball a little bit. And a lot of people went away from that thinking they could sit in their living room, lotus position, and manifest a Ferrari in their garage.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't work that way. We have to be in momentum. We have to be in motion. We have to be taking action, the action that is in alignment with that true choice, with that true end result, that desire. If you were already that person, that future person experiencing the life that you love, well, what would you be doing? And if you can see that, well, then be that now. Do that now. Behave that way now. As much as you can. You're not going to do it perfectly, but take some obvious action that moves you in the direction of that which you say you want to experience. And taking action is the number one thing that shows this superconscious field, this infinite field of possibilities, that you're serious about wanting what you say you want.
Yeah, that is so perfect. I have experienced that myself with just thinking about it or writing it down, but that feeling aspect is tangible. So that has to come first as well, just the feeling of you actually with that reality. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, the next piece is the taking the action. So what is available to me today as if I was in that life already? What can I do today? So I'm hearing all these very clear steps as far as how we can alter our mindset to be in alignment with that with which we are dreaming about. And you Right. have put together a program, I guess we could call it, that can help people get through that. Do you want to share a little bit about that program?
Yeah, I'm not the creator. I'm not the inventor of it, but I had a coach and a mentor that taught me how to do this, and used it myself for the last couple of years, and it's working very well. So I've just been inspired to share it with other people. It's called the Magnetic Mind Method, created by Christopher Duncan. He lives in Australia, and so I'm one of his coaches. I've been trained by him to share this message. Mm-hmm. And the five steps are: number one, have a true choice. True end result, true desire. Why do you want what you want? I want it just because I want it. I don't need anybody's permission. And it's an end result, meaning it's not a stepping stone unto something else. It is a pure choice. It's an end result. It's the final destiny of the way you want it to be. So like I said, abundance or freedom or experiencing a life of love and intimacy or experiencing that optimal health. And when I do sessions with people, you know, we work on some directional choices, and then there could be other choices that fall under some of those directional categories. The second step is to get into the emotion of the end result. It's feeling what it would feel like to already have it. To imagine yourself already being it, to imagine yourself already having created it, already it's in your present moment. What would that actually feel like? And allow that feeling to go through the cellular structure of your body. Feel it in your body. Remember, I said we choose our emotions? Well, choose those emotions and feel them fully, even if it's only in the imagination to start with. The third step is to just look at the way it is now, the current reality, and just observe it and notice what it feels like now. So we create a structural tension in the mind because the mind likes to resolve tension. And the tension is between the way it is now and the way I'd love it to be. Not in a judgmental way, like this is bad and this is good. It's just what is, and it's just what I choose. So this is the way it is now. This is the way I'd love it to be. This is the way it is now. This is the way I'd love it to be. And you create this chasm between the two realities. And then the fourth step is what's special about the Magnetic Mind Method is that we do a recode, a conscious recode, in which as a coach, I get permission from you to speak to your higher self, to your superconscious side. And I say, look, superconscious, do you see the resistance that is in the way of this main personality having that which they desire? You see the chasm between the current reality and the choice, the true choice, the end result. And there's something in the way. Superconscious, can you realign that? Can you recode that unconscious program? It takes about 15 minutes. Most clients just feel lighter. They feel freer. They feel, you said it earlier, they feel like things are now more possible. You see, we live in a field of infinite possibilities, and you may see other people experiencing those possibilities. But if there's an underlying resistance or an identity structure that says, yeah, that's for everybody else, but that's not for you, or I'm not allowed to experience that, even though you see it in the world, you see it as a potential reality, it's not for you and you can't have it. When we recode that unconscious program and your superconscious side, look, it never sleeps. It's been part of every event in your life, understands every emotion you've ever had, is connected to all infinite wisdom. Okay. And all you have to do is ask for what you want. Okay. Ask for what you want. And then after we do the recode, the fifth step is to take obvious action. As we come out of a recode, I will ask you, what's obvious? What is an obvious action step you could take now that moves you in the direction of where you would love to be? And in the health space, it could be as simple as maybe I need to drink more water every day and less soda. Maybe in the health space, I need to eat more holistic food and not so much fast food. Maybe I need to call my doctor because I haven't seen my doctor in 10 years. It's just an obvious action, right? If I want health and vitality, maybe I need some help. Maybe I need to make a phone call. Maybe I need to take the first step in that direction. Take action.
Yeah.
It could be a tiny step. It could be a bigger step. It doesn't matter. Action is action. And it starts to create that momentum in the direction of where you want to be, not in the direction of the problem-solving reality. Oh my gosh, I don't want to be homeless. I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to. We all know we got a list of 10 things we don't want.
Right.
And if I ask you what you don't want, you'll tell me what you don't want, right? And if we're focused on that, guess what we're going to experience?
Exactly. More of what we don't want.
Yes.
Yeah. So it sounds like if we've started a new, if we've made a new decision, we're already on a new path, are we not?
Yes.
And so it's really just a matter, if we just choose one thing that's different, we're going to get the different result.
Well, I'll give you an example. Every New Year's, right? There's millions of people that want to lose 20 or 30 pounds. So they sign up for a gym membership and they made a new decision. I'm going to lose weight. This is the year I lose weight.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest to you that weight loss is not the true choice. The true choice lies beyond the weight loss. The true choice lies in what does losing weight do for you? Is it because you want to enjoy looking at yourself in the mirror? Is it because you want to be, I don't know, feel sexy or something like that? Nobody wants the weight loss. That's not the true choice. Mm-hmm. They want what's beyond the weight loss. And so when we get in touch with what do you really want? What is the experience that you're really looking for? You're not looking for the experience of going to the gym and sweating your guts out. That's not the experience anybody's looking for. New Year's resolutions last about 15 days and then they're gone till next year, right? Yeah. And by February 14th, at least here in the States, we're eating chocolate for Valentine's Day. I don't know. You have Valentine's Day in Canada?
Oh yeah, we do.
You do. Okay. So, but this is the reality, and everybody that's listening right now knows this is the fact. And so the idea is, how do you create a new habit? How do you add something to, or change something, or shift something in your daily routine that you will be consistent about? You see, consistency is the key, even if it's a small thing. So I'm going to suggest that the daily routine needs to become something of at least about 15 minutes, where you are taking time for yourself in some quiet place where you actually exercise the muscle of your imagination. Mm. And some people immediately tell me, well, I can't do that. I try to imagine things and I can't see anything in my mind. My response is going to be, well, do it anyway. Okay. Do it anyway until your imagination begins to wake up. Okay. You desiring to use your imagination is the first step in your imagination actually feeling like it's needed, feeling like it's wanted, you know, because it's been asleep maybe for 30 years.
Wow. Yeah.
That is the beginning of it. So creating a new habit, changing your daily routine, growing the ability to command your focus. It's completely natural for your focus to go away 100 times a day. All I'm asking you to do is be aware of that. And when your focus flips over into fear and anxiety and all that, remind yourself who you are and that you have the power to choose, and command your focus to view and focus on that which the way you want it to be, and continue to take obvious action in that sense. I mean, that is the five steps kind of in a nutshell. Now, the recode, you need a little bit of assistance to do in the beginning, but my intention always is to teach people how to do their own recode and to remove this resistance without having to fix themselves or work on their weaknesses or heal themselves or forgive themselves. Look, you're in the power position right now. Reclaim the power to choose. Now, there may be resistance in the way, and that's what I can help people, just release that resistance and teach them how to eventually do that for themselves. When you know how to do that, what else do you need to know? You can create anything you want. The caveat is you just can't have everything at the same time. You have to choose. Right. So that's why it's a choice, a true choice, a choice that you would love to have. And that hopefully will give you the commitment and the follow through. In the beginning, you're really training your superconscious mind. You're building a relationship with this aspect of yourself. And then as the results come in and you see things change, then that's what I call evidence. There's evidence that things are shifting, things are moving. And you know, it should put a smile on your face, like, oh, I created that. Just like I created all the crap that I didn't want, I'm now creating stuff that I love. I'm creating experiences that I enjoy, people that I like, opportunities. My whole job changed, you know, my whole career changed. Well, why is that? It's because the identity structure shifted and the reality has to be in alignment with your identity structure. So when you shift this structure, the three-dimensional experience must change.
Thanks for listening. And did you know that positive reviews from listeners like you help me get these messages out into the world? Leave a rating for Own the Grey on your podcast app or at ownthegrey.ca. This episode brought to you by Lunch with a Healer podcast. The best conversations happen when you're having lunch with a friend, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair at lunchwithahealer.com.